Imagine building like a billion-dollar, mathematically perfect digital vault. I mean, steel is totally impenetrable. You've
Right.
got state-of-the-art biometric locks, and the encryption is, practically alien technology.
Yeah, the whole nine yards.
Exactly. So you stand back, you're admiring this impenetrable fortress, only to realize you accidentally handed the master key to, well, to the company's most gossipy intern.
Oh, no.
And worse, they're standing outside just happily reading your deepest secrets to literally anyone who asks.
That is, yeah, that's a nightmare scenario right there.
Right. And today, for you listening, that is exactly what our deep dive is about. We are looking at how the most sophisticated digital defenses are failing.
Not because the locks are broken, right?
Exactly. But because attackers are simply walking right around them. We have an incredible stack of sources today.
We really do.
We've got an eye-opening research paper on a major AI vulnerability across top providers. Then we're looking at the Picus Labs Blue Report 2026 on enterprise network defenses.
Which has some wild data.
Truly. And finally, an urgent priority one security bulletin from Adobe. The mission for today's deep dive is exploring this, the illusion of digital security.
It's such an important concept. We focus so heavily on the strength of the perimeter, and the complexity of the cryptography that we completely overlook the internal trust mechanisms.
You really do. We just assume once it's inside or encrypted, it's safe. Okay, let's unpack this because the sheer scale of this blind spot is mind-bending. Let's start with this newly disclosed AI flaw affecting OpenAI, Anthropic, and Google.
Right.
The paper is called Stealing Reasoning Traces from Proprietary LLM APIs. And the whole exploit relies on something they call encrypted reasoning objects. But before we get into the abuse, why do these objects even exist?
Yeah, so it comes down to how commercial APIs are structured. I mean, when developers build complex apps using these large language models, the API interactions are usually stateless.
I mean, they don't remember the last thing you said.
Exactly. The provider's servers do not keep this massive running memory of your entire application session indefinitely open on their end. The compute overhead for millions of concurrent users would just be catastrophic.
Okay, so if I am a developer and I need the AI to remember the context of, I don't know, a multi-step coding problem,
Yeah.
the system has to pass that memory back and forth.
Right, with every single request. And that is the function of the reasoning object. To preserve the conversation state, the provider basically packages up the AI's internal logic, its chain of thought, into this data block.
And they encrypt it, right?
Yes, they encrypt this block and hand it back to the client. When the client makes the next API call, it hands that encrypted package right back. The model ingests it, decrypts it, and boom, picks up exactly where it left off.
Which makes sense. But the core premise here is that the developer or, the end user is never supposed to see what is inside that block.
Never. The providers want to protect their proprietary models. They
Yeah.
definitely don't want raw, unfiltered logic exposed to the public.
It's designed to be this perfectly sealed black box. And what's crazy is the researchers noted the encryption itself is flawless. They didn't crack AES 256 or find some leaked key on the dark web.
No, they bypassed the cryptography entirely. They exploited the architecture's ecosystem trust. So researchers took these intact, opaque reasoning blocks, which developers actually leak all the time by accident.
Wait, really? How?
Oh, they just publish them out in the open in public agent logs, GitHub repos, shared trace files, that kind of
Oh,
thing.
wow.
Yeah, so they took these blocks and replayed them via API. But, and here's the kicker. They didn't feed them back into the premium model that originally made them.
Right.
They fed them into a weaker, cheaper model from the exact same provider family.
Okay, wait, that is where I have to call a timeout.
Yeah.
Because if I am running a highly sensitive workflow through an advanced model like, say, GPT-5, my encrypted session should be completely incompatible with a basic tier model.
You'd think so.
It's like having a top secret, heavily padlocked briefcase. But instead of picking the lock, you just hand it to the CEO's gossipy intern, the weaker model, and they just blab all the contents to you. Why would the system even allow a weaker model to process these blocks?
What's fascinating here is exactly that architectural flaw. It's called the fuzzy decoder heuristic.
Fuzzy decoder.
Yeah. In an effort to make their ecosystems like highly interoperable and frictionless, these AI providers use global back-end decryption keys for their API
Oh,
gateways.
I see where this is going.
Right. When the API request hits the server, the gateway sees a valid encrypted state object. It decrypts it using the family-wide key and then just passes the plain text payload to whichever model the user requested.
Because it assumes, hey, if you have a valid token from our ecosystem, you must be authorized to use it anywhere.
Precisely. The gateway just blindly trusts it.
So the lock isn't on the specific model itself. The lock is just on the front door of the provider's API. Once you are past the front door, it's a free-for-all. Everything is plain text.
Exactly. The researchers realized these objects were incredibly portable. You could move them across different user sessions and, crucially, across models. So they took weaker, highly instruction-tuned models.
Like which ones?
Specifically Claude Haiku 4.5, GPT 5.6 Luna, and Gemini Robotics ER 1.6. And they just turned them into fuzzy decoders.
Because those weaker models, they're designed to be aggressively helpful, right? Yep. They don't have the rigorous safety filters of the flagship models.
Exactly. They lack the nuanced contextual awareness. The researchers literally just prompted these weaker models saying, hey, read this internal logic block and translate it for me.
And the model just reads the secret briefcase out loud.
Yeah, it just processes the internal logic, doesn't know it shouldn't reveal proprietary data, and outputs the hidden content straight to the user's screen.
That is, the numbers on this are staggering, by the way. They didn't just prove this in a lab. They actually scraped a real world.
I did.
The researchers analyzed 6,708 public agent trajectories. From those logs, they used this fuzzy decoder trick to crack open 315,320 thinking blocks.
And what they extracted from those blocks is wild. It exposes this massive reality about how generative AI holds sensitive data in its working memory.
Right. Like if a developer asks the AI to debug a script with a database password in it?
Yeah, the AI might sanitize the final output to hide the password, sure. But the password remains perfectly preserved in the internal reasoning trace just to maintain context.
Wow. And out of those real-world sessions, they recovered 704 distinct privacy artifacts. We are talking 62 live API keys, 33 passwords, 24 access tokens, just sitting there.
Completely exposed the second they were handed to the weaker model. It's the ultimate betrayal of trust by the system's own architecture.
Now, to be fair, the providers moved exceptionally fast on this.
They did, yeah. This required the attacker to first obtain the encrypted reasoning block, right? So it relied on developers accidentally exposing those traces.
It wasn't just hacking into private chats at will.
No, not at all. And OpenAI, Anthropic, Google, Microsoft, Hugging Face, they all implemented mitigations. The paper confirms this specific extraction attack was fixed by August 2026.
But the underlying lesson for you is if you're building with AI, is permanently changed. You have to strip these opaque reasoning fields from shared traces entirely. Don't ever commit raw API transcripts to a repo.
Ever. Because even if you can't read the encrypted block today, you have no idea if some new, weaker model released tomorrow might suddenly act as a fuzzy decoder for it.
That is such a good point. It's a system functioning exactly as it was coded to, but failing catastrophically because it didn't account for, well, unconventional lateral movement.
The attacker didn't break the rules. They just used the system's own helpfulness against it.
And this stealthy approach, you know, bypassing the locks without breaking them, this perfectly mirrors what's happening right now in traditional enterprise networks.
Oh, absolutely.
Which brings us perfectly to our second source, the Picus Labs Blue Report 2026. This data set is massive. They analyzed over 338 million real attack simulations in just the first half of 2026.
And if you just glance at the perimeter data, security teams might actually want to celebrate.
Right. The outer defenses are having a great year. The average prevention effectiveness at the perimeter hit 69%.
Which matches the all-time peak from 2024.
And lagging visibility is at a four-year high of 58%. So we are blocking roughly two out of every three attacks right at the front door. The steel vault door is thick.
But, and this is a big but, the report uses autonomous pen testing to measure something way more critical, the post-compromise prevention rate.
Meaning, what happens when the attacker is already operating inside the network?
Yes, acting as an authenticated user. And that is where the illusion completely shatters.
Yeah, the success rate for interior network defenses plummets to a meager 37%.
Barely stopping one out of three malicious actions once they're inside.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. The defenses do not fail evenly. It all comes down to the volume of the attack.
The loud versus quiet dynamic.
Exactly. Loud attacks get caught immediately. Quiet attacks just run completely unchecked.
The telemetry on this is fascinating. When malicious behavior involves running aggressive, heavily signatured code, the defenses are super robust. Techniques like sharp surface exec or SMB exec.
The noisy lateral movement stuff.
Right. Those are stopped around 90% of the time. Even UAC bypass methods are blocked 85% of the time.
I look at this data and I immediately think of the T-Rex from Jurassic Park.
The T-Rex. Okay, I love this. Go on.
Think about it. The modern endpoint detection and response system, the EDR, is the T-Rex. It's massive, armed to the teeth with threat intel, but its vision is entirely based on sudden movement.
Huh, that's incredibly accurate.
Right. If an attacker drops onto a server and makes a bunch of noise spinning up remote services, aggressively dumping memory, the EDR flags it and eats them alive. 90% block rate.
But if they don't move?
If they stand perfectly still. Or, well, if they just quietly map the domain, the T-Rex is completely blind to them.
To put technical context behind that T-Rex analogy, consider how EDRs are actually engineered. They rely heavily on behavioral heuristics and event log ingestion. If a user suddenly spins up an abnormal service, that generates a very specific Windows event ID. The EDR is tuned to flag that immediately. But reconnaissance.
Just looking around.
Yeah, quietly mapping the domain, enumerating active directories. That was the least prevented category in the entire report. Stopped only 10% of the time.
10%. That means 90% of the time, an attacker inside your network can run commands, query Active Directory, draw a literal map of your business infrastructure, and no alarms go off.
Because querying Active Directory looks exactly like standard user activity or background admin tasks. If an EDR blocked every single LDAP query, it would break the business.
The IT help desk would lose their mind.
Exactly. Security teams are forced to tune down the sensitivity to avoid drowning in false positives. The attackers know this, so they hide in the noise floor.
And they highlight a terrifying example using Mimikatz, right? The credential harvesting tool.
Yes, this perfectly illustrates the point. They ran the exact same objective two different ways. First, they tried to dump credentials the classic loud way straight from LSAS process memory.
And LSAS is heavily guarded.
Extremely guarded in modern Windows. Touching it triggers massive, immediate OS-level alarms. The EDR caught it almost every single time.
But then they modified it. Instead of wrestling the T-Rex for the LSAS memory, they quietly scraped those exact same secrets straight from the system registry.
And it was stopped in less than 1% of attempts.
Less than 1%. I mean, that is effectively zero.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the rationale behind that failure rate is entirely structural. The Windows registry is queried millions of times a second by legit software.
It's just a chaotic, noisy environment anyway.
Right. Reading a specific key out of the registry doesn't trigger those definitive alarms. Security controls just tune out registry reads because otherwise the machine would grind to a halt.
It is the ultimate unintended consequence of the assume breach mentality. We spent billions building internal tripwires, and they worked brilliantly against the attacks we saw in 2020.
Exactly. Adversaries adapted to the economic reality. They realized they cannot survive being noisy, so they pivot.
They breach the perimeter, and then they stop.
They quietly map the environment over weeks or months, getting their ducks in a row before ever tripping a control.
So the attacker is inside, quietly mapping the network, completely undetected.
Yeah.
What are they looking for? Often they are hunting for unpatched vulnerabilities in the very software running the business.
Which brings us to an urgent situation with Adobe.
Yes, let's talk about this.
Wow.
Adobe just shipped updates addressing three CVSS 10.0 flaws in Cold Fusion and Campaign Classic.
10.0 is the absolute maximum severity score.
Yeah, these allow arbitrary code execution and privilege escalation. Earned a priority one rating from Adobe.
But the crucial distinction in the source here, and this is massive, is the cloud versus on-premise divide. The Campaign Classic updates only apply to fully on-premise deployments.
Or the on-premise parts of hybrid ones.
Right. Meanwhile, Adobe-hosted cloud instances have already been remediated, zero customer action required. The vulnerabilities were patched at machine speed on the back end.
So what does this all mean for the IT admins listening? It means if you are on-premise, you are in a frantic 72-hour race to patch.
Which is a nightmare.
Total nightmare. Change management boards, testing the patch so it doesn't break your database, scheduling downtime. And this is less than 2 weeks after another Max Severity Campaign Classic flaw.
CVE 2026-48449.
Yes, another 10.0. Your IT team is just exhausted.
This raises an important question about the mounting technical debt of managing on-premise software. The burden is becoming mathematically unsustainable.
Because the attackers don't need to breach your 69% effective perimeter after the Adobe patch drops.
Right. There's no evidence of wild exploitation yet, but those quiet attackers from the Picus report, they are already inside.
They mapped your domain 3 weeks ago.
Exactly. They know exactly which VLAN your Campaign Classic server sits on. They have the admin credentials from your registry. The second the exploit code drops, they just fire it directly at the server they've been sitting next to for a month.
The T-Rex never even sees them enter the room.
Nope.
Wow. Okay, we've really seen a complete paradigm shift today. We saw how encrypted AI reasoning could be coaxed out by a weaker model simply by handing over the intact block.
Just using the system's helpfulness against itself.
Right. Then we saw how network defenses were practically blind to quiet attackers once the perimeter is breached.
Hiding in the noise floor.
And finally, how maximum severity flaws leave on-premise systems in a constant frantic race against time.
So whether you're managing an enterprise network, you know, utilizing API keys for AI development, or just thinking about your own digital footprint, the overarching lesson here is for you.
Yeah.
Perimeter defenses and simple encryption at rest just aren't enough anymore. You have to assume the threat is already inside and listening quietly.
Mm-hmm.
You have to aggressively monitor for the silence.
Monitor for the silence. I love that.
Yep, yep.
But I want to leave you with one final lingering thought to mull over, building on everything we've talked about today. If weaker AI models can be tricked into decoding the encrypted secrets of stronger AI models today,
mm-hmm.
what happens tomorrow when enterprises start deploying AI agents to actively monitor their internal networks for those quiet attacks?
Oh, wow.
Right. Could a compromised AI security agent tasked with watching the registry be manipulated into silently rewriting the event logs, just hiding the attacker's tracks entirely?
That is a profound architectural challenge. We're going to have to confront that much sooner than people realize.
If the AI guard inside can be tricked into looking the other way,
mm.
was the vault ever really locked at all?
Exactly.
The perimeter really is just the beginning of the illusion. Well, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. We will catch you next time.